You take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and this can be found in the Pew Bible on page 546. If you weren't with us this morning, we looked at verses 1 through 7, where we were looking at wisdom to begin the new year. Verses 8 through 33, we'll consider wisdom throughout the year. It's wisdom throughout the new year. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 1 and read through the whole chapter. Again, this can be found on page 546. In the Pew Bible, Proverbs chapter 1. Let us listen and respond with worship to God's holy word. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Verse 24. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray once more. Heavenly Father, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. We pray that would be true once more, Holy Spirit, as we spend time in worship in your word. We pray that it would be illuminated to our thoughts and effective our wills, and stir our hearts towards wisdom and love and obedience and security, as it's only found in wisdom incarnate, even Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for his glory and the health and security of his church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it, that we just discussed and prayed for the churches in China. And here the 33rd verse of this opening chapter speaks about living securely. We know what that does and does not mean. God has ordained for us to suffer unto glory like his Son. And Jesus, in the upper room discourse with the disciples on the night he was betrayed, prepared them for suffering. But even as he prepared them for suffering, he said to them, I give you peace. And he went on to pray for them in that high priestly prayer in John 17, that they would be kept by the Father, that we would be kept by the Father. And Peter, of course, was listening to that, and he would write about being kept by God for salvation to be revealed in the opening of his first letter. And so there is real security, even if our outward bodies are persecuted and oppressed and mistreated. And what this proverb teaches us is the folly of going after the world, to seek and to live apart from that wisdom, that truth, as it is revealed and manifested in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have wisdom throughout the year? Well, it certainly involves, as we see in verse 29, choosing the fear of the Lord. And when we think about what it means to choose the fear of the Lord, it means to acknowledge him in all our ways, as Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 teaches, that he might direct our paths. And if he's directing our paths, we're secure. Conversely, if we are directing our paths, if we are leaning on our own understanding, then we are in danger of insecurity. And fear and dread are our real enemies. And so this passage of chapter 1 of Proverbs teaches us much about the dangers. It begins with that high point in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But from 8 to 33, we're encouraged to respond to that knowledge so that we might know that security that's found through union with Christ, abiding in him and persevering in him. And what our great need is, brothers and sisters, is to hear the voice of our Savior and act upon his words in 2019. That is how we'll have wisdom throughout the new year. It's a wisdom that needs to be cultivated. It's wisdom that needs to be collected each day. I believe it was Spurgeon, but certainly not alone with Spurgeon, that he said concerning prayer, we're like the Israelites that each morning need to gather the manna. Outside the sixth day, they gather double so that they could worship on the Sabbath. But all that to say is we don't rely upon yesterday's prayers. Doesn't mean that God's not caring for us when we even neglect prayer. But our communion with God is an utter dependence upon God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, Yahweh says to the Israelites, cling to me. And so too, for you and I, in order to live securely in 2019, we need wisdom throughout the year to know our need to cling to Jesus Christ, to find in him and respond to his wisdom, to hear that clarion call, wisdom, to hear and respond to the fear of the Lord. And so that's what we'll look at tonight. We'll learn how a responsive heart to the call of wisdom leads to daily provision. And that's the key, daily provision, consistent security from the threat of evil. We'll look at it in three parts, this portion of chapter 1. First of all, wisdom from the wise. Wisdom from the wise. We'll see that in verses 8 through 19. And then secondly, wisdom's clarion call. Means like a trumpet sound. And we saw that in the beginning in verse 20 and following. And then last of all, we'll see wisdom to listen to him throughout the new year. And so wisdom from the wise, wisdom's clarion call, and wisdom to listen to him throughout the new year. We'll notice how we're not left without helps in our lives. Notice verse 8 and following. We have wisdom from the wise, and in this case, it is godly parents. You'll remember back from Deuteronomy chapter 6, as Moses was given that responsibility to catechize the Israelites in their preparation to enter into the promised land so that they would be a holy people in a holy land before a holy God. He taught them that they should teach. That everything that they received from the Lord, he received to the Lord, they were to impart to their children and to their children's children and children's children, so that they might know the God of the Exodus, the God who is their Redeemer, the God who had promised a Redeemer to their foreparents in the Garden of Eden. And so, too, we have parents here giving wisdom to the children. Hear, my son, verse 8, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. This wisdom literature involves poetry. It speaks about not only the truth that we need to receive, but how it affects the way we appear, both internally and externally. In chapter 3, Solomon expands this imagery. In the beginning, he says in chapter 3, verse 1, just two chapters over, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And there he describes it in the sense of our biological life, for length of days and years of life. And notice, peace will be added to you. Peace will be added to you. So what are these graceful wreath to our head and ornaments about our neck? Well, it's picturesque for an internal shalom and peace that God grants to us as we abide in him. And then, and very practical, verse 5, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Well, we saw in our studies this morning how that was true of Jesus and his growth in Luke chapter 2, verse 39 and 52. But how much more so again us? But we need to heed this wise teaching. You might could be here this evening without parents who were Christians, as a number of us were. But this truth is true in all of our spiritual fathers and mothers. The pastors have taught us, Sunday teachers have instructed us, co-workers who witnessed to us. That we need to heed the instruction, that one truth that has been imparted to God's covenant people since the Garden of Eden and recorded since Moses and through John and Revelation. We have the Word of God made more sure. That is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We have wisdom from the wise. Well, what does that wisdom ultimately teach us? Well, we're in a fallen world. Notice in verses 10 through 14, temptations arise. We were looking at this in the young adult Sunday school class, where Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks about those struggles and sins that are common to us all. And so we ask the question, what is also common that Paul's imparting to us? Well, the reality of temptation. As Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says this, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. And so what is the way of escape? Well, it's the wisdom of the wise. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive. We'll find all kinds of precious wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. This is the ambition of the world. This is the unrestrained evil of the human heart. And we are called through wisdom to reject evil's invitation. And brothers and sisters and young people, this is a temptation that comes upon us each and every day. It's subtle in the ways that it comes to us, for instance, here in North Jersey, in contrast to those who, as we made mention, whether it's in the house churches of China or in the darkness of North Korea. For us, it's often possessions. Verse 13, we'll find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, we shall all have one purse. This rejection of evil's invitation is really at the heart of man's opposition to God, as we saw from our larger catechism this morning. It's a call not to go with the crowd. And it's significant that in John's gospel, the person of Nicodemus pops up three times at least. In John 3, you'll remember at night he comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, we know that you must be from God because no one can do these things." And Jesus starts teaching him about the need to be born again from above. And then later in John's gospel, in John chapter 7, the Pharisees are already seeking to destroy Jesus. They've sent out some officers to arrest Jesus, and they come back. Read this in John 7:45. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, and they said to the officers, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man spoke." That should have been a key. There's a lot of keys for the Pharisees and the chief priests that should have awakened them to who Jesus is. The Pharisees then answered him, "You have not also been led astray, have you?" How ironic, isn't it, that they would be led astray by the Christ they did not arrest. And then they say this, "No one of the rulers of the Pharisees has believed in him, has he?" Verse 49, "But this crowd which does not know the law is accursed." And then Nicodemus arises. Nicodemus, parentheses, "He who came to him before, being one of them, said to them, 'Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?'" There's Nicodemus not following evil's invitation, not going with the crowd. And so we too are to stay away from bad company. Notice how this is brought out by the wise parent. Verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood." This is bad company. And parents, you've want to keep your kids away from such company. We grow up and we know there's always different crowds and cliques, and it's the worry of every parent that we'll fall in with bad company. We know the proverb of the world, misery loves company, but all company that's seeking after evil has nothing but its end is misery. The Apostle Paul described the nature of the whole human race as bad company in Romans chapter 1, where he concluded, he said this, "Although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things," and all the above is mentioned, greed, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, need I go on, inventors of evil, lovers of themselves, unloving, untrustworthy, unmerciful, disobedient to parents, without understanding. But those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's what Solomon's warning against, that covenant children would not be caught up in the crowds that are seeking to be inventors of evil. Apostle Paul said it this way in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Right there in the heart of that great chapter on the resurrection. "Be not deceived, but bad company corrupts good morals." Well, Solomon later in chapter 13, verse 20, it's a great verse in counseling young adults. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." That's what Solomon's teaching here. And we see it borne out as he goes on when he talks in verse 19 when he says this. I'm sorry, verse 17, "And indeed it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of a bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lies." Yeah, get the imagery here of a hunter or a fowler. Is that the right term, Elder Reith? Though not your occupation, but capturing birds and teaching them, setting the net right in front of them. That's what the wicked are doing to themselves. Notice the self-destructive nature of sin. "But they lie in wait for their own blood. they ambush their own lives. Now, Solomon in the Proverbs picks up on this theme often. Proverbs 26:27 really is one passage that really expands upon this. He who digs a pit will fall in it, and he who rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. What this means, brothers and sisters and young people, is that as we are inventors of evil, that evil comes back upon us. In due time, there is justice for the wicked. And that's the course that we are warned away from through wisdom. That we not follow in this bad company, but we seek to walk wisely with those who are wise. And so notice that it's summed up in verse 19. The summary of wickedness. So are the ways, and know how all comprehensive this is in verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. And that's true. Whether it's in this lifetime or it's in the day of resurrection and judgment. Proverbs 22:22 says it this way, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. There is justice. There is justice in due time. Well, what's the remedy? Well, the remedy ultimately is to choose to respond to this appeal of wisdom from the wise. And we see it in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I made mention of this morning, but Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly desires, all unpacked there in Proverbs 1, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. Well, that's the wisdom from the wise. How about wisdom's actual appeal? This is our second point, verses 20-32. Wisdom's clarion call, its appeal. That's in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Notice that this voice is not silent. Notice that this is not a secret message. There's an implication that the wisdom and the knowledge and the voice of God is never silent to the conscience of those created in his image and likeness. This wisdom shouts to the folly of man's heart, even those Pharisees and religious leaders to the officers concerning Christ who they could not arrest. But it's imparted to us so that we would know the truth of the foolishness of our ways. It's a clarion call that we're called to respond to. Notice the promise that I will pour out my spirit upon you and make my words known to you. That those by the Spirit who led to seek the fear of the Lord are brought to a place of greater knowledge. Paul said it to Timothy in his second letter, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. And ultimately, it is the day of Pentecost when that spirit came upon all people. Paul quoted Peter, quoting from Joel, said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The clarion call is meant to respond it. But notice the warning for those who do not heed that. Heed that clarion call. Verse 24. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Well, certainly this is the man who builds his house on sand. He's the one who hears the words of God and hears the words of Jesus and does not act upon them. And so the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and slam against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Your calamity will come like a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. Does this mean we should give up hope for those who have heard the gospel, family, friends, sons, daughters, mothers and fathers who we've had opportunities to speak wisdom to, wisdom as it's found in Jesus Christ? No. We are, as we prayed in the pastoral prayer, finite creatures. We don't know the end and the destiny of those we're praying for. We never give up hope while they're still breathing. But it is a warning. There is a time when the voice of wisdom will be silent. The door of the wedding feast will be closed, if you want to think of the parables of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Notice how this is brought out in 28 and 29. Then they will call me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently. Again, knocking at the door in the parable Jesus told. They will not find me. And here's the reason why. Not because they didn't want security, not because they didn't want a place in the wedding banquet, but because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. I looked at this concept of the fear of the Lord as it comes to us in our English, and it certainly doesn't mean a terror and dread of those who are opponents of God. They should rightly be fearful of God and dreading His wrath. And I told the story of John Bunyan running out of that church this morning. But a holy fear is proper and worshipful regard for all that God is in His wisdom, power, holiness, mercy, and love. And all of His attributes, to revere Him and to bow the knee to Him. Those who are rejected, the door of the wedding feast being closed, are those who reject the lordship of Jesus Christ because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not worship and bow their knee to the God who had created us. Well, this is true of Israel, unfortunately, during the time of the prophets, right? God sends His lawyers to them, calling them back to the covenant, expounding how they had been covenant breakers, yet calling them to turn, as we saw here in verse 23, turn to my reproof. That's basically the calling of the prophet. And so Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13, and just as He called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. And that's the danger of a hardened heart. It ultimately destroys those who reject it. And what is that destruction? Well, notice how it's unpacked in verses 30 through 32. The wages of sin is death, says the Apostle Paul, and so true with them. Verse 30, so they would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. There's a repetition from verse 23. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And brothers and sisters, that's the danger. That's the two paths set before not only us in the book of Proverbs, but in all of world history. The broad highway that leads to destruction and the narrow path that leads upward and onward to eternal life. Need only look over to Proverbs chapter 8 to see this brought out in such stark words by the writer. Blessed, verse 34, is the man who listens to me, watching, and notice the language, daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me, verse 35 of Proverbs 8, for he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Pretty sobering, isn't it? Sobering to read a proverb a day. But it's real life. It teaches us how dependent we are upon wisdom from above. How fearful we should rightly be of leaning on our own understanding. How dangerous it is, brothers and sisters, particularly to compartmentalize parts of our life from God. And to have the fear of the Lord definitely on Sunday and in many other respects in my life, but my secret life, perhaps in front of the internet, on websites I don't belong on, relationships I shouldn't be involved with, friends who are not really friends at all. All these things are dangerous, and we need to heed the voice of wisdom and turn to her reproof and turn ultimately back to the God of all mercy. And that's where we are left off here in our last point. Listen to him throughout the new year, not compartmentalize, but bow the knee to the Lord Jesus each and every day to seek him at the dawn of each day for wisdom, grace, and strength, to acknowledge him as Lord in all our ways that he might direct our paths. And so we need to listen to him. Verse 33, but he who listens to me will live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. It's a really an either or, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And we've all tasted times of wandering, as the hymn writer said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. When we are in a place that is not good before our God, sinning in thought, word, and deed, the reality of fear comes in, doesn't it? The dread of evil. It's not that we've lost our justification. We didn't gain our justification, so we can't lose our justification. But it's a reality that there is a narrow path. And we have the Word of God exhorting us to press on that narrow path and to heed the voice of our Savior throughout the year and throughout the Word of God. But he who listens to me will live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. This is simply Jesus' exhortation in John chapter 10, isn't it? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. With such security, we're now free to live for him. And so we see this great truth. Proverbs 28:26, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Isn't that what your heart desires above all else? In a world of darkness and unrest and uncertainty and terrorism and persecution, our struggles with besetting sin within, don't we want to dwell in safety, be kept knowing, as Peter says, by the grace of God we are kept, to abide in God's love, knowing that he protects us and keeps us? Proverbs 14:26-27, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge, sanctuary, peace. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. Think about that. Bending the knee and trusting and giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging as Lord of all, is a fountain of life. And in so doing, you stay on that narrow path, one step at a time, all the way, with his promise that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And this is God's grace in Jesus Christ. Again, it's by his doing you are in Christ Jesus. You didn't bring yourself into this relationship, and by his grace he'll sustain you in this relationship. But he calls upon us to cultivate that relationship. Newlyweds learning about each other. Senior couples learning about each other. Children being trained by their parents. Cultivating relationship. So too do we with our triune God through faith in Christ by the Spirit. By his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So how are we to cultivate that? Well, we do so by listening and hearing and acting upon God's word, and praying back God's word to him, and admitting where we are weak and where our tendencies to be allured by the world and its temptations. But to pray with dependence, Lord, deliver us from evil. And keep us on a narrow path. I commend to you the Proverbs chapter 4. And I'll close with this in our time together. Hear my son, verse 10. If you want to turn over to that. Proverbs 4:10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Verse 11, so wonderful. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. May our eyes be fixed on Jesus, who is the light, in 2019 and beyond. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as we've considered the warnings at the latter part of your word here in chapter 1, that we would not only listen but respond with faith and obedience and trust, a sanctified fear of straying from the narrow path that your Son blazed for us in his earthly incarnation, life, death, and resurrection and ascension. Lord Jesus, may you keep us and preserve us and sustain us with grace and mercy and help in time and need, that when we are tempted, we would call upon your name and that you would provide that way of escape. We pray especially for our young adults and young teenagers, Lord God, and that you would guard them from the ways of the world and conformity to the ways of the world, that they might have a sharpened conscience, a sensitive to evil and a desire for that which is righteous. And Lord God, that they might seek you and find you in your word, and that you might provide them with wisdom to follow after their Savior. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be in enabling us moment by moment to act upon your word, to receive it and to learn of it, to have wisdom to navigate in this world, but that we as your people, as a corporate people, would move together and encourage one another as we press on together that upward calling in Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.